Genesis chapter 25. Want to look at the delivery, want to look at the deception, want to look at the departure, the devastation, and the dispersion of these two brothers. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And verse 21, and Isaac entreating the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. In other words, Isaac prayed to the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now we're getting to down something very important. Look here. Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. Before they were even born, what we're going to see happening between Jacob and Esau, Israel and Edom, was happening. This was a foretaste of things to come. In their mother's womb, in Rebekah's womb, Isaac, two boys, Esau and Jacob, were struggling already. Look at verse 23. She went to the Lord, inquired of the Lord why this was happening. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, now put asterisks beside verse 23. This is key. Two nations are in thy womb, and two matter of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. God lays down the principle upon which he is going to love Jacob and hate Esau. God lays it down. In thy womb, those struggling boys that are in there right now, Rebekah, are two nations. And the elder is going to serve the younger. It's an absolute. Now, you must remember, in the Jewish families, all the way from the beginning, the firstborn was the one that received the blessing, got the honor, and carried on the task. And before the temple came into existence with the priestly order, they were the priest of God. They were the representative. The eldest, the father, was the representative of God to the family. And the firstborn would receive that. Here, God, before they're even born, says the younger is going to serve, the elder is going to serve the younger, and they're going to be two nations within. Verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins born in her womb. Remember now, these are the first twins that came into existence. The first came out, he was red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. That's interesting. There's so much in the names. We just don't have a time to develop all this. Let me just run ahead. Verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And his name is the fact that he would take hold of the heel. And Isaac was 80 when she bare them. This is the birth. This is the delivery of these two sons. The elder is supposed to serve the younger according to God's pronouncement before their birth. And there were going to be two nations that came out of Rebekah's womb. As we think about the delivery, let's also think about the cell of the birthright. Some of these things are old hat to you, but I want to rehearse them in your mind because we need to have these solid as we go and come to an understanding of why we see what's happening in the Middle East is taking place. Verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And the story goes that Esau goes out to hunt in the field, and he comes back, and he's just starving to death. He has no food. And Jacob had prepared some pottage that he had. He was going to eat, and Esau comes and says, I'm starving, Jacob. Can I have some of that? And Jacob says, I'll tell you what, I'll sell you this, but you've got to trade me your birthright. I want to have the position of being the number one son. You give me your birthright, I'll give you this. And the story, of course, you remember, goes that Esau says, okay, I'm starving to death, man. What is it going to matter if I die? If I don't get something to eat, this birthright is not going to mean a thing to me, so give me the food. And he despised his birthright. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of the lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The delivery and the sell of the birthright from Esau to Jacob. Now go to chapter 27 of the book of Genesis. Thinking about the deception. And everybody, when he gets to thinking about Esau and Jacob and how Jacob deceived his father Isaac to get the blessing. I want you to know that not only was Jacob deceptive, he was deceived himself, and it was a whole family affair. It was a family failure. Every single one of them had been deceived. There are four scenes here. The first scene is Isaac and Esau. Isaac and Esau, Isaac being up in age, remembering what God had told Rebekah, decided he wasn't going to abide by what God said to do, told his son Esau, I'm old in age. I want to give you the blessing. I love the way you fix venison stew. Go kill a deer. Make your delicious stew. Come back in here. Bring me the stew. I'll have a time and I'll give you the blessing. That's scene number one. Isaac was going against what God had said. The elder's going to serve the younger. He knew what Rebekah was told by God. He was going against it. He sends Esau. He favored Esau. Well, of course, on the other side, does this happen in your family? On the other side, Rebekah favored Jacob. She heard about this, and she came to Jacob. This is scene number two. She says, hey, Jacob, your brother has gone out to make some stew for your dad, and he's going to get the blessing, and we don't want that to happen. Now, instead of having faith in God, because God told her he would get the blessing, he would have Esau serve him, she says, I know what we need to do. I'll make the stew because I think I can make his... I taught Esau how to make that stew anyway. I can do better than him. I'll make that venison stew for your dad. And you go in. Your dad's just about blind. He's old in age. You go in and you tell him you're Esau and give him the stew, and he'll give you the blessing. Jacob says, I'd love to do that, but my brother's all hairy and I'm just plain. He said, well, we'll take some animal skin, put it on your body, and you just... I'll take a pair of old... I mean, you know how Esau stinks. We'll just take one of those old shirts he wears all the time and put that on, and you can go in there and you can just, and he'll be convinced that you're Esau. Well, Jacob follows through with his mother's advice, and he goes in and he says to his father, he tells him two lies. His father asked him three times who he was, and he said, I'm Esau. I've been out and I got your venison. And then verse 26 of chapter 27 of Genesis. And his father Isaac said unto him, come now here and kiss me, my son. Verse 27, and he blessed him. Verse 28, here's the blessing. Therefore God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth. That's the first thing he gave him a blessing for. You're going to have the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. You're going to be blessed agriculturally. God's going to take care of all those needs. Some have even suggested this word fatness here has to do with oil. Blessed with oil. I think there may be something to that, especially in light of the fact that Israel has just drilled at the southern end of the Dead Sea, which is deep stick oil, and they have found what is potentially the greatest oil deposit in all the world. I love it the way God does things. Here's the southern end of the Dead Sea. It's the lowest spot on the face of the earth, 1,200 feet below sea level. Here's Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Libya, all these oil-producing countries. You know, if you take a straw and put it in a glass, you start to suck the straw, and the fluid comes out of the bottom of the glass, but the top of the glass starts to lower. Wouldn't it be just like God to let him put a oil well right there at the southern end of the Dead Sea, start sucking that oil out, and all the oil from Iraq? Anyway, it's a blessing that God has promised. I'm not sure fatness means that, but it could mean that, okay? That's the first blessing he's going to give him. Look at verse 29. Here's the second part of the blessing. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Look over at verse 37. Esau is going to come around for the blessing, and here's what God's going to use Isaac to say to Esau. Verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. What did God say to Rebekah? God said to Rebekah, the elder's going to serve the younger. Now the second part of the blessing Isaac gives to Jacob. Oh, you know the story. Jacob is going to become Israel. Israel is going to become a mighty nation, chosen of God. And what this is saying right now, look folks, I want to start to focus in a little bit on what we're seeing happening today. What it says right now is those descendants of Esau, whoever they may be, are going to serve the Jew, the descendants of Jacob. And it's not because I said it, and it's not because politics says it, it's because God said it. One of the blessings are going to be fatness of the land. Number two, the nations are going to serve you, especially your brother. And then look right here. The last part of it says, cursed be, last part of verse 29, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be them that blesseth thee. And if you don't believe that, you ask Great Britain if God doesn't curse those that cursed Israel. And I think you could ask George Bush Sr., you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. James Baker, former Secretary of State, used the Lord's name in vain against Israel. I believe that's why George Bush lost, because God cursed him, or you're blessed. That's what's going to happen. And of course, the last scene is Isaac and Esau. And Esau comes back and realizes his conniving brother Jacob had got the blessing. And then he demands a blessing. If you read this and exegete it, I want a blessing. He just started screaming and yelling, I want a blessing. And he said, okay, here's your blessing. He told him he'd serve his brother. His brother would be lord over him. Verse 37, look at verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven and above. Similar to what he told to Jacob. Now verse 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and I will serve thy brother, and thy shall break his yoke off of thy neck one day. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob. And then the next chapters, go to chapter 36, the next chapters deal with what happened as far as Jacob going over into what we know as modern day Turkey, and having 11 of his sons born, etc. They come back into the land, skipping over to chapter 36. Now these are generations of Esau, who is Edom. We start to see Esau, who becomes Edom. That is key. His name is changed here. 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Verse 6. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and the cattle and all of his beasts and all of his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, and he went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. Chapter 37 verse 1 says Jacob dwells in the land where his fathers had dwelled. That's the land of Cana. Jacob is going to stay in Israel. Esau is going to have to depart. Here's the departure of these two brothers. Why did they have to depart from each other? Look at verse 7 of chapter 36 again. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together in the land wherein they were strangers, and they could not bear them because of their cattle. Verse 8, thus dwell Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. I'm developing this. We're building a base for understanding these two nations. Jacob stays in what we know as Israel today, and he becomes Israel. Esau becomes Edom. He goes to Mount Seir. Mount Seir is that mountain range extending from the Dead Sea all the way to the Red Sea in what we know as modern-day Jordan. It became known as Edom. In the Bible, when you look at Jordan, modern-day Jordan, is Ammon, Moab, and Edom. It's divided into three parts. Ammon in the north, Moab in the center, Edom in the south. And in your Bible, you can look at your map there, from the southern end of the Dead Sea to the Red Sea, that is Edom. It was at that time known as the Mount Seir mountain range. That's where God sends Esau. He becomes Edom. Go to the book of Obadiah. Go to the book of Obadiah. Hurry, folks. Clock is running. 941 is the page in a good Bible. Or just find yours and look near there. Between Amos and Jonah. That ought to help. Okay. Let me show you. I've talked about the delivery of these two nations coming out of their mother Rebekah's womb. I've talked about the deception. It was a family failure. I talked about the departure of these two. The separation. Israel or Jacob staying in the land we know as Israel. Esau or Edom going into southern Jordan and establishing two people now. Obadiah talks about they're going to be devastated. Look at verse 7. We'll develop this more, but just look at it for a moment. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There was none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Esau, or the descendants of Esau, Edom, the nation he became, are going to be completely devastated, almost here, but to a point where they have no longer a nation. They're going to be destroyed as a nation. Slip over to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Let me show you where Paul got that phrase, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, the last of the prophets, just before the 500 year begins. It starts with him repeating what he said, what Paul said he said, and it concludes with him saying that there's coming one who will be Elijah before announcing the coming of Messiah Jesus Christ. That's what Malachi concludes with in the fourth chapter. Now look here, verse 1, chapter 1. And the burden or the prophecy of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you. You see, this is to Israel. He's talking to Israel. I have loved you, saith the Lord. And yet you say, wherein hast thou loved me? Boy, that's Israel questioning the character of God there when they say, wherein have you loved me? I mean, you know, if God says he loves you, you don't ask him wherein. You accept that as what he's done. Here he's answering him now. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, destroyed Edom. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished. Now, look here just a second, folks. I said at the very outset, we started off with Romans chapter 9, verse 13. I love Esau. Freudian slip. I love Jacob. I hate Esau. What was he talking about? Not individuals. He's talking about nations. He's talking about two different nations that are going to come forth. One nation, Jacob, becomes Israel, the mighty Jewish nation. One nation, Esau, becomes Edom, another nation. And we're going to trace, in our study together, we're going to trace where they go to live, the impregnable city of Petra, and the connection it has to prophecy. Then we're going to look at the Edomites throughout Old Testament history. Then we're going to look at that space between Malachi and Matthew. And finally, we're going to look at the judgment at Jerusalem, what's going to ultimately happen to Jacob and Esau. Israel and Edom. Edom is alive and well on planet Earth today. Edom is going to be returning to their land to try to take it over. Look what it says. If you don't believe that, look at verse 4. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will tear down. They shall call them the border of the wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Jeremiah 49, Ezekiel chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 27 all say that Edom is going to be as Sodom and Gomorrah. Whoever these people are, these are a people that are a nation. They're going to be wiped out and never, ever come into existence again. The indignation of God. They're going to come back. They will be devastated. Obadiah talks about at the time, 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Edom was destroyed by the Nabataeans. We'll look at that in another session. But they are going to be brought back. They're going to come back. We're impoverished, but we're going to come back. We're going to rebuild. We're going to come to power. And God said, oh yeah, you're going to come to power. But my indignation is against you forever. And you people that were brought forth to serve the Jew, will ultimately be judged. There's a people, alive and well on planet Earth, a people, descendants of Esau, a people So God will raise Jacob up and his descendants to wipe off the face of the earth. It's a prophecy that will be fulfilled, and it's found within the phrase, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. God's selection between these two brothers has prophetic significance in the day in which we live.